Gods, thy praises sing. I'll worship in thy holy place and praise thy name for truth and grace.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's.
Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Blessed is the man that trusts in him.
Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints.
For there is no want to them that fear him.
The young lions do lack and suffer hunger.
But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let us pray. O Lord our God, you have commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And you have again brought us to your house of prayer to praise your goodness and ask for your gifts. Accept now in your endless mercy the sacrifice of our worship and thanksgiving, and grant us those requests which will be wholesome for us. Make us to be children of the light and of the day, and heirs of your everlasting inheritance. Amen.
For thou above thy name adored, hast magnified thy faithful word. The day I called, thy help appeared. With inward strength my soul was cheered.
O Lord, according to your good word, he that covers his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Therefore, let us humbly bow down and confess our sins before him.
And kneel before the Lord. Amen.
Let us bow at least in prayer. O Lord, hear first these our silent confessions. And now this our corporate confession. Most holy and merciful Father, we acknowledge before you our sinful nature and our many offenses. We are prone to do evil and slow to do good. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your way, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting your love. Lord, we are ashamed and sorry for all the ways that we have displeased you. Help us to love you with all our heart and mind and strength, and give us the power of your Holy Spirit, so that we may walk in your ways and joyfully serve you all of our days. Father, teach us to hate our rebellious acts, cleanse us from our secret faults, and forgive our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us arise and hear the good news. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Our Heavenly Father, in his great mercy, has given his only Son to die for you. For his sake, your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God, our sins are forgiven. Amen, amen, amen. Let us sit at his feet for this morning's lessons.
And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endureth grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when you be battered for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto where you're called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who did no sin? Neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Lord is my shepherd, no one shall come nigh. Within the green pastures he makes me to lie, beside the still waters.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entered not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entered in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable Jesus spoke unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If by me any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Christians, what do you believe? Without
controversy,
great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And in whom do you place your trust?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Again, I want to thank you and express my appreciation for you all coming out here today. It is great to see you here, and I guess what I want to say is things are really moving kind of rapidly in our culture, at least I hope that they are, and so I'm not sure that this is what next week is going to look like. Maybe the same, maybe different. We may be inside. Please stay tuned. Please stay in prayer. Our being out here today doesn't represent anything about what's going to happen next week. We're still going to try to abide by the guidelines as best as we can. And so early in this week, coming forward here, I'll be in touch as I have been, and we'll take it a day at a time from there. What I want to do today in terms of the preaching of the word of the Lord is to make sure that we truly are celebrating the Good Shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. And in this passage in John chapter 10, the very next verse, what wasn't in our reading today, was the verse that says, I am the Good Shepherd. And so I want us to be celebrating not only the good shepherd, but really the great shepherd that we have in the person of Jesus Christ. The scripture reading that I want to begin with is an obscure one. It's right out of this passage in John in chapter 10 and verse 9, but it's one that I don't think we often pay very much attention to. The title of the sermon today is from this scripture, and this scripture is from John 10 and 9, where it says that you will go in and out and find pasture. You'll go in and out and find pasture. So let me read that for you. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for, Lord, this beautiful day you've given us. We thank you for yourself. And we ask now as we come here today to celebrate how indeed you are a good and a great shepherd for us. Help us, Lord God, to appreciate you, to bask in, Lord, the light that you are, and to be filled with all of the provision and the benefits that you give to your sheep, that you give to your people. Father, already today we've raised our hands before you. Lord, in a sense, we're in your sanctuary, for you abide in the midst of your people. And as we raise our hands are empty in ourselves, but filled because of what you give. And so do that work in us today, again, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Shepherding is all over our lectionary readings today. We sang the psalm, but each week as we have lectionary readings, there is also a psalm connected to it, and indeed Psalm 23 is the psalm for today. And the theme of Psalm 23, you know very well, the Lord is my shepherd, but it then goes on to describe all of the provision that we have at his hand. It is complete, Psalm 23 is, not only with the acknowledgement that the Lord is our shepherd, but it's complete with all of those pleasant and beautiful and life-giving and even the abundant things, the beauty and the landscape of a place where a sheep, a lamb even, can flourish. It's a beautiful image. Perhaps you remember from the New Testament lesson where Peter read to us from 1 Peter in chapter 2 and verse 25, it says, you were as sheep going astray. Past tense, that's who we used to be. You were as sheep that were going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your soul. We were like sheep going astray, but now we have returned to Christ. He's our shepherd. Now, I haven't seen many of you face to face in a long time. It's been at least a while, but I can assure you this idea of returning here is not about you returning to see me. It's about you returning to Jesus as your shepherd. It's not about me. It is always, it is ever, it is only, it is all about Jesus as your shepherd. And you know, the church, we're gathered here as a church, the called out ones, the ecclesia in the Greek. Today more than ever, we should know that it's not about the building. And it's not even about the parking lot. It's about us. We are the called out ones. We are his sheep. He is the shepherd of this flock. So it's not about the building, not about the parking lot. And so right off the bat, I want to say this. This idea in this scripture where it says you will go in and out, it's not about going into that building or out of the building. It's not about having church in there or having church out here. It's not about services that are inside and out. But this idea of going in and out is about his regular provision to us. his regular care, his regular shelter, the regular nutrition that he provides for us, and the routine. I don't want you to miss that word, routine. This going in and out. And in your going in and out, you will find pasture. And in some sense, without routine, without the going in and the going out, you won't get to the pasture. I'll explain that in just a bit. But it is about routine. And so let me begin by telling you a little bit about sheep, because I have a vague familiarity with them. The first thing you need to know about sheep, I don't know where they got their name from, they're scaredy cats. When you think of a sheep, you ought to think of a scaredy cat, because that's what they are. They're anxious. They're nervous. Their dominant need is one of safety and security. As much as we may share, like all animals, a sense in which we have a similar desire for excitement and adventure, that may be true to some degree, even in us, even in them, at root, especially sheep. And again, Jesus refers to us as sheep. At root, sheep need and they like security and safety and familiarity and routine. And so I submit to you that no small part of what Jesus is teaching when he's telling us that he is this good shepherd here, and he describes to them that they're going in and out and they will find pasture as a part of their salvation, no small part of that in and out is the routine. In that routine, they have their security and their safety and their familiarity. That's no small part of it. I think about the times when we had our school operating here, and how the kids, and I don't mean little baby goats, when I say kids, I say children. Children end up flourishing. When? When they know the parameters. Even when they know the perimeter, I can't go outside that fence. Those are my limits. When they're settled in them, and when they have routine, when they know the ins and the outs of the classroom, they can feed educationally. They can flourish educationally because they know the ins and the outs. They flourish under those parameters and inside that perimeter. The fences help them to relax and provide that atmosphere where they can learn. And there, inside the fence and inside those parameters, there they can flourish. There they can learn. And I would further submit to you that this is true of children. It's also true of sheep out in the field at home. There is no abundant life or flourishing in a stress-filled environment. Looking out even at the landscape behind my home as I watch there, as I see that, the sheep find their greatest liberty inside those boundaries. When one of them gets out, they're panicked, they're walking around, they're back and forth, how do I get back in? They're really stupid, let me tell you. But when they get out there, they're just unsettled. They're not flourishing. They're in a panic. They find their greatest liberty in those boundaries. And there, as I was able to even observe yesterday, there they frolic about in the field. They have abundant life. They're in the pasture. They're able to enjoy the pasture. You know, if I'm with my sheep and I'm in a barn stall there and, you know, they're not comfortable because I'm trying to attend to a baby or I'm trying to do something there, I could put food right in front of them. They will starve before they eat that food if they're unsettled. They will starve to death if they're not comfortable, feeling safe and feeling secure. And so part of this in and out are the ins and outs of the faith that help us really flourish. And so, even at home, the sheep, they frolic there in the field, but it requires a certain settledness, a predictability, a familiarity. And I would submit to you that that is not only the beauty of what we read in Psalm 23, that is the landscape of what we see in Psalm 23. The going in and the going out is where and how we find pasture, and how will we will be those who partake of it. And so when I think of even the Word of God here, and God provides us with that Word and that abundance of food, we need to be those who are able to partake of it and have that settledness ourselves. And so I would add this as a mini by the way. The aim, the desire on my end, the goal on my end of those little daily emails that I've been sending is that you would have a sense of familiarity and routine and settledness about your life. I'll give you a little scripture here, just a little thing to keep life a little bit more routine, helping you to feel settled, helping you to be a little bit more predictable in terms of what is going on in the world. That's the aim. But then I would say, look here. Look at this letter that Jesus Christ has sent to every single one of you. I give you this little tidbit that may or may not even make any sense. He gives you this. This is the daily bread. This is the predictability. This is the familiarity of what God provides for you to feed upon. You go in and you out, you go in and out, and this is your routine every day. And there you can find your pasture. You can partake, you can be fed, you can be filled, you can have nourishment. He gives us this daily bread, and He sends it out to you every day. You know, the whole of the gospel lesson that we had is about this routine, and it's about this familiarity. And I would remind us all, and I think we're experiencing this right now, even in our culture, it does not take a whole lot to spook the sheep. Again, I can go out in the barn, and you know what, if I put some food down, That sheep is going to eat that food. But if I'm doing anything out of the ordinary, that sheep is going to be on edge. She's always going to be looking, for her way to get out, to escape. She's insecure. It doesn't take a lot to spook the sheep. It doesn't take a lot to spook people. I think we've come to learn that. They flee the unfamiliar. And when Jesus is speaking in John chapter 10, they don't go after the strange voice. They don't go after the one who is merely a hireling because he's not familiar. They will flee from that which is not familiar to them, but they will follow that safe, familiar voice. And they trust him as they ought to trust him, for he is eminently trustworthy in both the gospel lesson and our New Testament reading from 1 Peter. There were frequent reminders in those scriptures about his trustworthiness. He lays down his life for theirs. As we read that, we remember that. So the sheep know that they can be in that same stall or in that same pasture area with that familiar person who they know has laid down his life for them. He lays down his life for them. That's what Peter tells us. For us, that scripture says in 1 Peter 2, for us he suffered. That same passage says that he bore our sins on the tree. He bore our sins. The reason he went to the cross, you know, the cross is just not some benign, obscure historical fact. Right in that passage, it says, he bore our sins on that tree. What a trustworthy shepherd we have. And then finally, in terms of him being trustworthy and them being comfortable with him, we read in that passage, it says, by his stripes we are healed. So the sheep know that He's the one who suffered for me. He's the one who bore my sins on that tree. It's by his stripes that we are healed. Those sheep can have great confidence in that shepherd, eminently trustworthy. And then we come to the gospel lesson. And if we read carefully, what we read there is it says that he leads them out and he goes before them. So again, I have a barn, I have a little corral area, and you know what? I don't just point and say, I've never had a sheep ever where I've done this, and that's where they went. Never once. And so in John 10, it says Jesus leads them. And it says specifically in that passage, he goes before them. So again, this whole idea of routine, and you know, every day, this, you know, you got walk them out, you walk them out. Sooner or later, they'll get it. But that routine, that familiarity, that trustworthiness is all a part of this. Not simply pointing the way. I remember that comment that Alan exposed me to some months ago about, you know, if you want to be a really good shepherd, you have to smell like the sheep. That means I don't stand out there on the balcony, on the deck of my house and, you know, direct them around. I have to be out there with them. And this is who Jesus was. This is who Jesus is. He goes before us. Now, let me connect this further, this idea of going in and going out and finding pasture. Let me connect it further to Acts in chapter 2. And just in this handful of verses, if we read it carefully in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, 17 times there's the word and. So they did this, and they did that, and they did this, and they did that, and they did that. Does that sound like familiarity and regularity to you? Yes, it does. Does it sound like routine? Yes. Repeatedly in that passage it says, they continued to do this, and they continued to do that. Those were the ins and outs of the faith. We could put it that way. The ins and the outs of the faith that make for our ability to not only enjoy the pasture, but to enjoy the nutrition that comes from the pasture. Talk about repetition. Talk about routine. 17 times. The wind is blowing too hard for me to open my Bible, but in verse 46, it talks about how they continued. And one of the things that they were continuing to do was to break bread. And again, this whole idea, as we've been studying what the breaking of the bread is about, the breaking of the bread is a reminder of our identification with Christ. Our baptism, we died with him, we're resurrected with him. We find our identity in Christ. These were identity building actions taking place in Acts chapter 2. Furthermore, in verse 42, not only are there more ands, A-N-D-S, you know, things that they continually did, but it says again that they continued to do these things. And they continued to do these things steadfastly. Not in a haphazard way, not in a way where they were just simply going through the motions. As a matter of fact, in a more modern translation, it says that they were devoted to doing these things. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. And they were devoted to the fellowship. And they were devoted to the breaking of bread. And they were devoted to the prayer meeting. And every single one of them has a definite article before them. When it says they were devoted to the teaching, it's not just any old teaching. The sheep, the shepherd, the early disciples were not sitting around, oh, what can we learn about geometry today? Or what can we learn about the Greek language today? It was the teaching of the apostles. Literally in the Greek it is, they were devoted to the didache. And then furthermore, the next one, it says that they were devoted to the fellowship. I preached on this some years ago. And again, our modern culture has kind of taken those definite articles and thrown them out the window. and they say, oh, I'm devoted to fellowship. I'll call somebody, I'll have a high five, I'll have this kind of casual relationship. The definite article means that this is a special group. They weren't just devoted to fellowship, they were devoted to the fellowship. That called out group that God has called us to be a part of. Furthermore, they devoted themselves to the breaking of the bread. Not just eating meals, not just having a pizza party, but the supper, not just supper, the supper. And they were devoted to that. And then finally, when it talks about they were devoted to prayer, literally it says they were devoted to the prayers. Those were set prayers and even set prayer meeting times. Devoted to that. My point is this, is that those four things mentioned in that scripture, they were and they are the ins and outs of the faith. Again, this all comes from the beginning in John chapter 10. If any man by me be saved, he comes through the door, I'm the door, he will go in and out. These are the ins and outs of the faith. And we find our pasture there. The damage that is done in this crisis of COVID, and even the danger of COVID, is the breaking off of all of these ins and outs, the breaking off of all of these means. And they are simply means. Means of knowing and being nourished by Jesus Christ, but they are gifts to us given by Him. And our response to COVID has been, we're going to put these ins and outs aside. I wonder how my sheep would do at home if no shepherd ever showed up and no one was out there doing the ins and outs every day and helping them have the familiarity that they have that enables them to flourish and to frolic, and nobody fixed the fence. They might feel a level of freedom for a minute, but they would be panicked. They ultimately would be lost. The danger and the damage of COVID is the breaking of these means, these ins and outs. But those means, they are the means that have been given to us by Jesus Christ, and they are employed by the shepherd, the good and great shepherd, Jesus Christ. And so during these 7 weeks, I hope that you have missed them, and I want you to think about it. Have you missed them? I hope that you have. I hope that we can have them restored to us. Historically, these were and these are the comforts and the stabilities and the securities and the predictabilities and the familiarities. This was the landscape of the settledness that marks the landscape for the people of God. These ins and outs are the green pasture. And this is the environment from which we read. And again, I'm in Acts chapter 2 and verse 43 now. It says, as they were doing these ins and outs, it says, many wonders were done. Many wonders were done. This COVID thing has caused a pause in all of these ins and outs. And so we have to ask ourselves, do we want these wonders being done again? We must be a people who are devoted to these things again. And truth be told, before the pause, could it be said that we were not as devoted? And I won't say that we were not as devoted as we should have been. I could say that, but I won't. I will say this. Were we as devoted as they were in Acts chapter 2? They who saw those wonders being done before COVID, Were we as devoted to the ins and outs of the faith as they were? Because these are the ins and the outs. The ins and the outs of finding pasture. And I submit to you that the church arise, it will arise again, only as she finds these ins and outs again. I fear for the church during this season. I fear for the church that these ins and outs could be lost. Maybe by design, if we want to go conspiratorial theories. Maybe simply by neglect. Maybe by, just like a sheep may feel, wow, I can get outside the fence and I can feel good for a while, and then have no idea how to get back in. But it's a dangerous time. But the church will arise again only as she finds these ins and outs again. Only as she willingly and lovingly follows her great and good shepherd. And so let us pray to the end that each of us will be among that flock that is his flock. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you for the ins and the outs, the familiarity, the predictability, the green pastures, Lord, that you enable us to live in. We thank you for the fences. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the security, the safety that we have in you. We thank you for your desire for us to flourish. Father, we thank you for today, for the opportunity to come and to exercise ourselves in these things. You've been good to the church of old. We pray that you will be good to the church not only today, but tomorrow as well. Help us, O Lord, we pray in these things. And Father, I thank you for these who have come out today. Father, these who have hungered and thirsted for the ins and the outs. They've thirsted, Lord, for the apostles' teaching. They have thirsted for the breaking of bread. They have thirsted for the fellowship. They have thirsted for the prayers. We ask, Lord God, that you would help this to continue. Thank you for being good, our good and great shepherd. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Our shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home. Under the shadow of thy throne still may we dwell secure. Sufficient
God our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, yours is all that is in the heavens and in the earth, and you are exalted above all. All that we have, both riches and honor, come from you. And it is out of your abundance of your own gifts to us that we offer these gifts to you. Amen.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my love, my God, I pour, at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be
Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. God of all grace and glory, we humbly come before thee with hearts overflowing with hope, gratitude, and peace from all your promises. Thank you for allowing us to gather here this morning and worship you covenantally. Let your great love shine in the lives of your people. Make us sensitive to all those who hunger for your truth and fill us with your life-giving words. During this challenging time, keep our hearts and our minds free of destructive or distracting thoughts. May our efforts be set on our eternal things and hold loosely the things of this world. Father, we confess, we do not know when or if things will ever go back to normal. Yet in the midst of it all, you remain the same. Your compassion and mercy are steady and strong. And so we trust in you this day and ask for your help in the days to come. As the virus continues to plague our cities and towns, we pray for your healing touch and mercy. We lift up Marge's sister, Mary, as well as George and Chelsea Camacho, and ask that you would place your healing touch upon them. Bless them and guide them. For our country and our leaders who are facing new challenges and threats every day, we pray that you would fill them with wisdom and discernment. We pray, Lord, for all those who are struggling to see hope in tomorrow. We ask for your grace. We continue to lift up the frontline medical workers who, through their courageous work, are endangering themselves and their families. We pray for the parents who are struggling to balance work and childcare and are worried about their family's safety. We pray for those who are already out of work and the many more who will be before this is all over. We pray for the churches and schools who have had to close, thereby shaking their stabilizing presence within their communities. Father, we lift up Pastor Jim and give thanks for everything he is doing for your flock here at Oakwood. We are thankful for his uplifting emails each day and all the work he continues to do in faithful service to our Lord and King. Lord, continue to place your people in your perfect care. May you be our strength and our shield during this time. This we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us how to live, how to love, and how to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is proper and right to do so.
Truly it is good and right that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting King, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who fulfilled his promise when he poured out the Holy Spirit upon the church. And now, by his Spirit's power, we also ascend to join the angels and all the company of heaven, and the whole church on earth in praising your glorious name.
Holy, holy, holy Lord.
As you know, this is the time where typically we would be extending the peace of Christ one to another, and we're suspending with that. Not that we're not wishing God's peace and blessing upon each other, but we won't be doing that through our hugs and our handshakes. But we are here to be partaking of the ultimate peace offering. The peace offering in the scripture is just one of many, many pictures of Jesus Christ, who is our peace. He is the Prince of Peace, and so we have the opportunity to come to his table, and we do so now as we partake of his great provision for us. Our Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks. Our Father and God in heaven, we thank you for the bread of life, your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his broken body for us. Bless this bread that we may be renewed and strengthened in faith to serve you more fully through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. And when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me."
Comfort those who sit in darkness, mourning neath your sorrows, Lord. Speak ye to Jerusalem of the peace that waits for them. Tell her that her sins are covered and her warfare now is over. For the herald's voice is crying in the desert far and near, bidding all men to repentance since the kingdom now. Rise to me.
The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. The Lord is your shepherd, you lack nothing. Let us partake together. And he took the cup, and again he gave thanks. Our Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for the blood that's poured out for us. Bless this wine as a renewal of covenant vows through the blood of the everlasting covenant. This we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins.
No idea.
His provision has been great, but his trustworthiness has been even greater. Remember those words of Peter. He bore our sins on the tree. With his stripes we are healed. It was for us that he suffered. He is ultimately trustworthy. Let us partake. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have fed and you have refreshed us at this your table. Strengthen us now, Lord, in faith towards you and in fervent love one toward another. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Let us stand and sing.
May the grace of Christ our Savior and the Father's boundless love with the Holy Spirit's favor rest upon us from above. Thus may we abide in union with each other and the Lord and possess in sweet communion joys with earth cannot afford. Amen.
Amen. before we receive our charge and benediction. God's great grace was upon us here, so I appreciate you. I think next time, Norma, you need to bring a winter coat for me. Wow, if we're out here again. Again, just a reminder, this is today only. We'll see what the week will bring. Thank you all for coming out. God's been good. Did you guys get communion over there? You're all set? Okay, nice job. Oakwood Bible Church, hear this charge and receive this benediction. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. And now the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
All kings of earth shall thanks accord.